Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 1st, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, the Secretary of Agriculture says land-grant universities should work with Iraqi academics to put that nation back on track to produce food and fiber. And ADM announces record earnings. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear from the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. They'll update crop conditions across the Midwest. Oh, and just after the bottom of the hour, as he always does on a Tuesday afternoon, Don Day will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
On this Monday, rather Tuesday afternoon in Chicago, futures finished the day like this. September wheat at 392.5, down a nickel for the soft red winter wheat. December futures at 413.25. We're off 3.25 for the day. In Kansas City, September futures at $4.82 were down 10.75 for the hard red winter wheat. Corn pit now, September contract 240.5 in Chicago at the Board of Trade, up 1.5. December futures up 1.75 at 257.75. And the March contract at 271.25 settlement price, up 1.5 today. December futures for 2007, a year away, 306.5. Up 2.5 cents. August soybeans, 573.5. They're down 6. September's at 579.25, or down 6.25. And the November's at 593.75. We're down 6. The following year, November 2007, contract down 7 at $6.48 a bushel. Bean meal futures, August contract at 161.10, off $1.50 for the day. The August bean oil at 26.53 at the Board of Trade, down 19 cents. Feeder cattle, August contract at the Mercantile Exchange, a dime higher at 114.42.5. August live cattle, $83.75 a hundredweight. They were up 2.5 cents in the October. Live cattle were down 40 cents today at $88.30. Lean hog futures, August contract from the Merc at $68.60, were up a nickel for the day. Outside markets very quickly. Crude oil, $74.85 a barrel, up 45 cents. The CRB index at 349.53, down 0.30. And the dollar at 85.06, down 2.4, or rather down 0.24. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,093, now off 92.5 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities over in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
How have you been for the last couple of weeks?
Warm.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. So I was comfortable where I was, but I heard it was awfully warm here in the Midwest. And despite that fact, things have dropped considerably since I left for the Ukraine.
Yes, it has, Todd. We were somewhat surprised that the market decided to take weather premium out in the middle of a heat wave, but the crop conditions and the amount of grain coming out of loan both sort of warranted that, I guess. So, here we are today, and we're looking at rains over Iowa and Minnesota today. We talked to one of our customers up in Rochester, Minnesota, said it dropped 20 degrees since yesterday, and they'd have fairly decent rain. We're looking for more this evening up in that area, so an area that very much needed some rain. But the corn staying rather strong today and bouncing back well.
Yeah, I read that, of course, that the rains across those northern areas would be the reason that the wheat market might have dropped just a bit. The corn futures moved just a bit higher. I heard that was on the rain moving north, but the one I can't explain in that case is that the soybeans dropped by 6 cents for the day. What's happening there?
Well, of course, the critical time for beans is coming up. If they get rain now, even if they have been dry and warm, they're a dry weather crop until they need the rain during August, and basically they're feeling that there's a good possibility that we might be able to bounce back there. And, of course, our crop ratings only dropped 1% in the beans. The corn, of course, showed a little worse deterioration at 3%, And as some of the people are figuring it up, I know that most of the commercial crop watchers are looking for a corn yield somewhere around the 150 bushel per acres, but there's a few spec houses out there that are now trying to put what the crop conditions ratings were as in the past and the acreage together, and they're coming up with a yield somewhere near 143 to 144. And, you know, if we don't have 150, right around that 150 mark for final yield, we could you know, really push this corn market on up as far as supplies go, because that would push us down below the 10-8 crop. And that would make everybody pretty reluctant sellers at harvest and tighten things up as trying to get them out of the farmers' hands later on.
That's the second time I've heard a rumbling about a smaller crop this year than even last year. The other one came up from an agronomist here on campus at the University of Illinois yesterday during a conference that I was listening in on. Do you think that that's going to build up some steam over the next week or so?
Well, I think it's going to depend a lot on, number one, how much rain they get on the next 48 hours out west. Number two, how much cooling the temperatures are. And number two, how hot the temperatures get over the next week. There's some of the weather watchers, the private forecasts, are looking for the hottest temperatures of the year, August 12th through the 15th. And, of course, that can eat up a lot of the rain. If they don't get substantial rains, you know, it can dry it up pretty fast and it goes away. So we need to have moisture that lasts more than a couple, 3 days out in that area that doesn't be taken away and put it in extreme stress to keep things on track as far as the good crop going, Todd.
A good time for farmers to stand by the sidelines and watch?
I would say yes. Right now, beans have dropped off enough now that we need to wait and see if they do get the needed rains. The corn, you know, we don't like, we're still in our trading range between the 260 two and a half and the 252, basically. So we haven't done anything to break out one side or the other here, and we'd sure like to, you know, see a breakout to the top side before we do any more selling.
And then finally on the soybeans, has there been any news out of South America, projected acreage over the last couple of weeks on ideas that maybe the economy has not been so good and that will continue to drop? I haven't gone back to take a look historically to see what's been happening yet.
Well, you know, there's news stories out. There's things being talked about how the economy in South America is going to cause some of the bean acreage to go away. Also, the talk that there might be more crops grown more so for the ethanol productions down there, so because of money that way. So, you know, they are still trying to talk about the differences that there might be less acres of beans in South America because of the economy.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks much. And that's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Wayne joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Tuesday afternoons. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. AM 580's own Mr. McCullough says there's an excessive heat warning for the city of Chicago this afternoon across the two-state region and into southwestern Illinois. That until 7 o'clock tonight, rather tomorrow night. Heat advisory for the rest of Illinois and Indiana until 7 tomorrow night. This afternoon, he says it'll be sunny, hot, humid. Highs will range from 102 degrees across southwestern Illinois to about 94 in eastern Indiana tonight, and in far northern and northwestern Illinois, warm, humid, a slight chance of thunderstorms. Elsewhere, warm and humid lows will range this evening from the lower 80s in the Chicago and St. Louis metro areas to the middle 70s elsewhere. Wednesday in northern sections, partly to mostly sunny. And there'll be a chance of some thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly sunny, hot, and humid. The highs will range from 100 in southern sections to 90 in the far north. The extended forecast for the two-state region, Thursday, partly to mostly sunny, a chance of some thunderstorms. Friday and Saturday, partly to mostly sunny. Highs Thursday through Saturday from the lower 80s north to the lower 90s in the south. And lows Thursday from the mid-60s in the north to the 70s in the south. Lows Friday and Saturday, mostly in the 60s.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
In in today's agricultural news, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Mike Johanns and Iraq's Deputy Prime Minister today signed a joint statement of intent to strengthen and broaden Iraq's agricultural extension system and universities through partnerships between U.S. and Iraqi universities. Johanns says agriculture can make a significant contribution to rebuilding the Iraqi economy and pointed out that for nearly 100 years, American farmers and ranchers have relied on agricultural extension for the training and advice that have made them some of the most efficient producers in the world. Johanns says U.S. land-grant colleges and universities have the expertise to help Iraqi agricultural universities with their efforts to rebuild Iraq's wide and varied food and agricultural sector.
They raise everything from tomatoes to wheat to fruits. Keep in mind, if you look at the history of agriculture in Iraq, this truly was the breadbasket of the world through human history. And there isn't any reason why it can't reclaim a very important part of the agricultural scene in this part of the world.
The secretary hopes that Iraqi claim to agricultural importance will come in part through the new USDA initiative. This program is designed to match U.S. land-grant colleges and universities with Iraqi agricultural universities to provide training for Iraqi faculty members on managing extension services and a variety of related subjects. Possible areas of technical cooperation include production of wheat, barley, rice, fruits, vegetables, sheep and goats, animal health initiatives, and water resources management. From one World Agricultural Center, we move to another. Decatur, Illinois, home of Archer Daniels Midland, where that company has reported the net earnings for the year ended June 30, 2006, increased 26% to $1.312 billion. That's $2 a share, up from $1.044 billion, or $1.59 per share, last year. From Decatur, we go to Washington, D.C., where an estate tax showdown is expected in the Senate this week. The U.S. House has approved a measure that would permanently reduce the estate tax. In a 230-180 vote in the early morning hours last Saturday, House members voted to exempt up to $5 million from taxation for an individual and up to $10 million for couples. All remaining assets would be taxed at a 15% rate. In an effort to sweeten the deal, the legislation also includes an increase in the minimum wage and extensions of expiring tax provisions. But according to Congressional Quarterly, that may not be enough to secure the 60 votes needed to invoke cloture on the motion and proceed. That vote likely won't take place until Thursday of this week. And finally today, high temperatures are not just a problem here in the Midwest this week. They've been a problem in California there as crop producers watch high temperatures and lack of rain take a toll on their crops. California producers are watching a different toll, a death toll. According to recent reports, triple-digit temperatures in July have claimed the lives of 25,000 cattle and 700,000 birds in Central California, fowl that is. And the California Dairy Campaign says the losses amount to between $1,500 and $2,500 a head. Milk production in the area is also suffering. According to the campaign, Land O'Lakes Creamery, based in Tulare, generally produces 1.6 million gallons of milk a day, but the company's reported losses of 400,000 gallons a day. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Well, up next, the U.S. Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress reports yesterday afternoon. Around the nation, 91% of the corn crop has silked and 25% has reached the dough stage. Both of those figures are ahead of the five-year rolling average. 5% of the corn crop is dented, and that is on pace with the last 5 years. The condition of the corn crop has dropped in the last week by 3 percentage points in the top two categories, with 56% now rated good to excellent. The soybean crop stayed pretty close to steady with last week and last year. 53% of the soybeans around the nation are said to be on the top end of the rating scale. 87% of the crop is bloomed and about half has set pods. 22% of the spring wheat has been harvested. That's well ahead of schedule. 91% of the winter wheat has been gathered, and that's just ahead of the usual pace. Now, here are statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation with an update on growing conditions in their regions.
This is Brad Schwab with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 30th. Hot, humid conditions returned to the state, especially late in the week. Temperatures averaged 4.6 degrees above normal statewide, with the northern districts averaging 5 to 6 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged near normal for the state, but was scattered. The crops in areas that received little or no rain are showing signs of stress. Topsoil moisture conditions were very similar to the last week, with 14% rated very short, 23% short, 61% adequate, and 2% surplus. Corn that has entered the dough stage reached 42%, compared to 37% last year and for the five-year average. 4% of the corn has started denting, similar to last year, but slightly behind the five-year average of 6%. Corn rated good to excellent stood at 69%, the same as last week. Soybeans setting pods reached 43%, compared to 58% last year and 46% for the five-year average. Soybeans rated good to excellent increased to 67% this week. In other crops around the state, the third cutting of alfalfa reached 36%, compared to 39% 1 year ago and 29% for the five-year average. For sorghum, 59% of the crop is headed, and that trails last year's 68%, but is ahead of the five-year average of 55%. And to round out the week, farmers were also busy spraying for Japanese beetles and leafhoppers, wrapping up wheat harvest in the northern part of the state, mowing ditch banks and waterways, putting up hay, hauling grain, scouting fields, and attending county fairs. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics from Indiana, and this is the crop report for the week ending July 30th. Continued adequate soil moisture and warm sunny days helped spur growth in the late and replanted field crops. Crops responded favorably to the rains that helped delay and postpone heat stress from the hot temperatures that arrived at week's end. Virtually all of the winter wheat acreage has been harvested. Topsoil moisture was rated at 1% very short, 9% short, 80% adequate, and 10% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated as 1% very short, 11% short, 79% adequate, and 9% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.05 to 2.56 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 93 degrees to a low of 55. For the week ending Friday, 5 days were rated as suitable for field work. 87% of the corn acreage has silk, compared to 95% at this time last year and tied with the five-year average at 87%. 22% of the corn acreage is in the doughing stage, compared to 28% at this time last year and 23% for the five-year average. 2% of the corn acreage has dented, compared to 3% at this time last year and tied with the five-year average. Corn condition is rated at 67% good to excellent, compared with 45% last year at this time. 75% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 89% for last year and 79% for the five-year average. 30% of the planted soybean acreage is setting pods, compared with 52% last year at this time and 39% for the five-year average. Soybean condition is rated at 66% good to excellent, compared with 52% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
This is Joe Prasaki, State Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop and weather report for the week ending July 30th, 2006. In several parts of Iowa, crops continue to show stress as temperature reached the mid-90s and rainfall remains sporadic. However, early in the week, some areas received rainfall with totals varying between 1 and 4 inches. In general, northeastern counties experienced the most plentiful rainfall to date. There were 5.8 days suitable for field work last week compared to 5 days last year and the 5-year average of 5.4 days. Topsoil moisture, 67% very short or short, 37% adequate, 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture rated 71% very short or short, and 29% adequate statewide. The statewide average precipitation was 0.96 inches, or slightly more than the weekly normal of 0.94 inches. The corn condition was rated 17% very poor, 26% fair, and 57% good or excellent. This compares with a 5-year average of 9%, 20%, and 71%. Corn in the milk stage reported at 46% and 11% of the corn has reached the dough stage. The soybean condition was reported as 16% very poor, 29% fair, and 55% are good or excellent. This compares to the five-year average of 8%, 22%, and 70%, respectively. The percentage of soybean setting pods was 66%, ahead of the 63% reported last year, and the five-year average of 52%. Many parts of Iowa continue to experience dry conditions with the reports of supplementary feeding of hay and grain of livestock on pasture. Some herds have been liquidated as the conditions of pastures continue to deteriorate. This has been Joe Prusaki reporting from the USDA's NASS's Iowa field office.
This is Steve Parn reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 30th, 2006. Lack of rainfall and high temperatures continue to stress dryland crops and pastures further. Irrigated corn fields rated 73% good or excellent, while dryland corn fields rated 25%, both below year-ago levels. 95% had silked and 29% was in the dough stage. A few fields in the south-central part of the state were beginning to show dent stages. Soybean conditions declined and rated 38% good or excellent. 91% of the acreage planted had bloomed and 64% were setting pods. Sorghum conditions declined and rated 41% good or excellent. 53% of sorghum planted had begun to head. Second cutting alfalfa was 96% complete and third cutting was 26%. Alfalfa conditions declined and rated 21% good or excellent. Pastures and range conditions declined and rated 70% very poor or poor. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA NASS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending July 30th, 2006. Hot, dry weather pushed small grain harvest and further stressed late season crops. The small grain harvest advanced quickly as oats harvest approached 50% complete. Nearly two-thirds of the soybean crop was setting pods, and one-third of the corn was reported in the milk stage. The canola and sweet corn harvests were underway both 7 to 10 days ahead of average. Pasture conditions ratings declined for the fifth consecutive week, with 65% rated in poor to very poor condition. The average temperature for the week was 77.4 degrees, 7.1 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 48% very short, 37% short, 15% adequate, and none surplus. As of Sunday, July 30th, an estimated 32% of the corn was in the milk stage, compared to 14% for the five-year average. 48% of the corn was rated in good to excellent condition, a drop of 6 percentage points from the previous week. Soybean setting pods were estimated at 62%, 30 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. 49% of the soybeans were rated in good to excellent condition. Spring wheat was 9% harvested, 6 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Spring wheat condition dropped 2 percentage points, with 44% in good to excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending July 30th, 2006. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your regional newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois' economic development chief is in Pittsburgh today as part of the latest stage in the state's duel with Texas over who gets the world's first near-zero emissions coal power plant. Jack Levin of the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity and other Illinois officials are meeting with the people behind the Future Gen venture. Levin says they're learning what documentation they must supply to prove their state is environmentally suited to host the billion-dollar project. Mattoon and Tuscola and two Texas locations are the four finalists competing to host the Future Gen project. Smoking is now illegal in restaurants in Urbana, and the city of Urbana says their system for enforcing the smoking ban is in place. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District will investigate complaints about violators, which can be sent to public health offices or to Urbana police. The city of Urbana's legal department will handle enforcement and fines if repeat offenses occur. Public Health Administrator Vito Palazzolo says he expects restaurants to comply voluntarily. Governor Rod Blagojevich's reelection campaign is staying mum about whether its huge legal bills are related to investigations of state hiring under the Blagojevich administration. Documents show the campaign was charged $687,000 by the law firm Winston and Strawn during the first half of the year. The Flash Economic Index showed little change from June to July. The University of Illinois' index to the Illinois economy rose from 106 in June to 106.1 in July. The Flash Index has hovered between 105.1 and 107.1 for the past 15 months. 42 teachers and 28 school principals are attending the second annual teaching development program this week at the University of Illinois' Urbana-Champaign campus. The program focuses on helping educators improve instruction to children in grades 3 through middle school. After 33 years at the school, Oakland City University President Charles Murray says he'll retire next year. Murray helped the Indiana Baptist School grow from a small college to a university with more than 40 degree programs and over 2,200 students at four campuses. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture, reminding you to join the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences for the 50th Agronomy Day, August the 17th. It's a Thursday. Kicks off at 7 o'clock in the morning with wagon tours that I'll be calling out into the fields and where you can visit with the scientists and researchers that are working for you to take a look at what's been happening in agriculture. Also on that day, Eldon Gould, Northern Illinois farmer and now the director of the RMA, their risk management agency that helps out with crop insurance, will be keynoting on that noon hour on that August the 17th. Be sure to come and visit with Mr. Gould on that day. Crop insurance, one of the things many farmers are most concerned about and a good way to manage risk right here in the Midwest.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, now joining us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Tuesday afternoon. Don, thanks for being along for the ride today.
You're welcome.
It's hot, 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 and I guess it's going to stay that way.
Well, it is. However, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. We're going to see temperatures losing as much as 10 degrees off our highs as we get into Thursday and Friday and the weekend. Not a big cool down, but instead of the mid to upper 90s with all this heat and humidity, we're going to see temperatures getting down into the middle to upper 80s as we tail off to the end of the week and the weekend. And on the leading edge of that slightly cooler air will be some showers and thunderstorms coming in tomorrow night and Thursday. In fact, we're going to see that thunderstorm activity bringing some rain to some areas that really need it. Looks like western, north central, and western areas of Iowa could see inch and a half of rain through this evening and tonight, as well as some good rain for eastern Nebraska and southern Minnesota and southeast South Dakota.
It'll be a good drink for the corn crop and certainly help the bean crop along, which matures a little later than the corn does.
Definitely. And this band of showers and storms will affect Illinois, Indiana as well, although the rains won't be as widespread. But it does appear that there's going to be some rain with that cool front as it comes on through. After that, going to be drier for the weekend into early next week.
We'd better check in on the Chinese corn and bean crop too, please.
Well, right now as we take a look at the weather conditions out there, it does look like they're going to experience some warmer temperatures as well. And those areas that were a little bit dry, especially the northern and central areas, will be staying that way.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, relief from the heat will be found across most of the central and east United States as well as Europe in the next week or two.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, sir.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joining us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Remember, you can always hear the analysis that takes place on the air, the futures analysis, the weather reports, right there on our website at willag.org. You can sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's all on the World Wide Web. If you'd like to time shift us and you miss something or you just prefer to listen to the ag programming at a different time of day, hey, we make it easy at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.